for the word. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start there again. I'm thankful for the cross. How about you? Thank you for the birth of our Savior into the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, go to verse 21. For he, Father God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, that we might be made or recreated the righteousness of God in him. Jesus went to the cross to become what he had never been, a sinner. So we, through faith in him, could become what we could never be, which is righteous. Scripture makes it clear that through no act of our own could we ever be holy enough, perfect enough to manifest right standing with God. But through the gift of the cross, the gift of Jesus Christ taking our sin, we not only have the right to have our sins washed away, but we are able to be made a new creation. Verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are not who you used to be. The enemy is an expert at pointing back to who you used to be and what you used to do and what you've done and say, look what a miserable person you are. You don't deserve for God to bless you. But all we have to do is go to the cross instead and not look at our past, but look at his past and recognize through him we have a right to walk with full visitation privileges to the throne of grace. Full rights to every blessing that God has. But we've been finding out that this is not an automatic thing that you walk in these full blessings. Once you receive Jesus, you're made a new creation. You're reborn. You're birthed into a new family. You have a new genealogy. We were studying Thursday night in the book of Ezra, and we discovered that as the returning exiles were going back to rebuild Jerusalem, they had to look at their genealogies to see if they were qualified to be in the priesthood. They had to prove through their genealogy that they were related back, clear back to Aaron, and were the tribe of Levi. And if they couldn't do that, they were disqualified. Well, for us to be a king and a priest before God, we get to point back to the cross that connects us both with Levi and with Judah. We have a right to have a new beginning. But just because you get born again doesn't mean you realize what you have access to. And all of our blessings we receive from God are by faith, right? And actually, the faith we have to walk in to access these blessings is two-pronged. In other words, there's two parts to it. You know, I do a lot of tinkering in the garage, and one of my favorite products are epoxies. Epoxies fix everything. When we were doing Pastor Bob's house here, back in, was it November? We went over there to help him with his house. And there was a builder in there doing the kitchen while we did the rest of the house. And we were talking about, you know, the power of putty to fix things. You know, builder's putty and mud and everything. And he spit out a saying I will never forget. He said, putty's your buddy. And what was the other one out? I said, I'd never forget it. Oh, putty's your buddy and caulk is your friend. That was it, yeah. So, putty can fix a whole lot of stuff. Epoxies. How many have heard of JB Weld before? I mean, JB Weld is wonderful. You can fix an engine block, a hole in an engine block with JB Weld if you need to sometimes. But JB Weld and epoxies require two parts. There's a resin and a hardener. And until the two parts come together, it won't solidify. I've got epoxy. I just used some the other day that is probably at least potentially over 40 years old. When Patty's father died, before he died, they gave me all of his tools and stuff. And in it was a bunch of old building materials I mean, tubes of caulk that, actually, I cut open one of the tubes. I tried to use it and it wouldn't work. I cut it open and the caulk was a solid tube. It had hardened over 30 or so years of not being used. I've got it in my man cave now, a tube of caulk hardened. I just cut it out and I've got what was in it set up. I like unusual things. I've also got a can of paint that was partially folded and it hardened. And so it's just a yellow disc about that big around and that tall of hardened yellow paint. So, and I have an orange in my man cave. These are kind of a sidetrack, but I know it entertains you. Right? Have I mentioned my books are out? Yeah. I've got an orange that back when I was working at IBM, this would have been back in the early 80s. One of the guys at a meeting got an orange and didn't eat it, left it on his desk, and it hardened. It petrified. And when he left the company, he gave it to me. This orange is probably 35 years old. And it went from being this big to now it's about that big. And so if you ever come to my house, ask to see the orange. I've still got it. And so the point I want to make is these epoxies take two parts to make it work. So I had this epoxy I got from her dad. It's probably over 40 years old. In fact, how many remember the Heels store? It's from Heels in Lexington. Yeah, it's from Heels way back, which had been gone for a long time. And if you don't have the two parts, it won't harden. So I've got this epoxy. I need to use some the other day. I'd run out of JB welder, didn't have enough. So I took this old epoxy and mixed it, and it worked perfectly. After 40 years of setting in my cold garage, even it worked. And so when I'm talking about that we're to receive the blessings of God by faith, you know if you want to be healed, you've got to confess healing scriptures into your life. Amen. Right? You also, if you want to prosper, you need to sow seed and confess prosperity scripture over your seed. There's a need to build your faith, to meditate promises of God, to access any blessing of God. Because until faith gets down inside of you, you can't release it. In fact, you can speak words of faith, but until it's got down in your inside of you, those are hollow words. Amen. Because Jesus said, if you'll believe and doubt not, you can command the mountain to be thrown in the sea and it'll obey you. There's a necessity to build your faith in what you're going to speak and believe. Otherwise, doubt will steal what you're speaking forth. And within a few hours, you'll probably say, well, it didn't work. I hope it works. If you're saying, I hope it works, you're not in faith. I'm sorry. And people don't want to hear that. You know, you pray for them a line. Well, I agree with you for your healing. And they go, well, I hope it works. Well, you just dug that seed up, threw it in the fire. It works when you believe it works. Do you follow me? So the first ingredient to our JB weld, we're going to talk about, we'll call it Jesus weld this morning. Y'all just stay with me. It's already been an unusual morning for me. You've seen a side of me I don't like to demonstrate. Hallelujah. My tenderness. Amen. Because I'm a fuzzy puppy of tenderness. The first part of our epoxy mix is you got to believe in the promise of God. But there's a second component you need for it really to work. And that's that you need to know you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've got to know you're a new creation and you have rights to this. And so not only do you have to build your faith in what God promised, you've got to build your faith in who He said you are. And the two mixed together give you quick set epoxy. This epoxy I used the other day, 40 years old, was 5-minute epoxy. Once you mix it, you better apply it quick. And within 5 minutes, even in my garage, which was probably 45 degrees that day, it set up in 5 minutes. It was ready. And so when you get a hold of who you are, and you get a hold of that you got promises about given to you, and you build your faith in both, your promises will take place in accelerated fashion. Do you follow me? How many want acceleration in your life? Go over to Romans chapter 9. Oh, you're going to like this. Romans chapter 9, go to verse 28. Talking about God. He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short accelerated work will the Lord make upon the earth. See where the word work is there? If you look it up in the Greek, it's the word logos. It's actually the word. God says he will finish the word. People couldn't comprehend that, I guess, during the time of the translation. But he says, I'm going to finish the word in accelerated fashion. How many want the word fulfilled in your life in accelerated fashion? And where he says, cut it short, that's talking about acceleration. In other words, we've only got so much time, but there's a lot to do, so we've got to cram it together. We've got to compress what we're doing in a shorter amount of time to get to the end goal, which for us is the glory of God coming on the church. Right? All of the promises manifested in our lives. And God says, I'm going to accelerate that work in righteousness. What's he saying? As my people find out who they are in the fullness of it, and they build their faith in it, they find out that they've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, they get the revelation of righteousness down in them, I can then accelerate what I'm doing for them. Because it used to be when we were trying to build our faith for something and we didn't know we were righteous, we were fighting a battle uphill. Like San Juan Hill, right? We were charging in an uphill battle. Oh, I believe I'm healed. Oh, I just agree I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. He took all my sickness, all my disease. I'm healed. And we'd walk the floor. But then the devil would be saying, well, you know, who do you think you are that God would heal you? Remember what you've done. Remember what you've said. Remember your past. Remember this morning. I'm healed. And you'd fight this battle. And the whole time, condemnation's beating you back as you're trying to press forward. And we learned to press forward to the healing. Even though we fought this condemnation fight, we could press forward to the healing. But it took a lot of extra effort. But once we found it about righteousness, then when you say, and I believe I'm healed, and the devil says, but remember this morning or yesterday, you say, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you blast right through that, and all of a sudden now you're going downhill. What happened? You brought both parts of the necessary components together to produce accelerated results in your life. And so as much as you work the other promises of God, it's necessary you work into your life the revelation of righteousness. Oh, I thought I was already doing enough. Now I got to work something else to see the promises of God. Does this ever stop? Well, the battle will never stop till we're off the earth. But what I'm telling you is going to make all the rest of the battles easy. At least easier. When you find out you're righteous, then you know you're a winner. If you find out that God's already taken your sin and you don't have to bear that weight of condemnation, all of a sudden the load gets easy. It gets light. What makes the burden heavy is believing that you're carrying a responsibility to live perfect. Amen. I don't carry that load anymore. I target perfection, but I know when I drop something, God will pick it up if I'm going after him. And all of a sudden, I get to enjoy the trip. If you could see a chart, if God could actually draw one out for you of my own personal joy level, once I found out I was made righteous, when I really got that revelation and even worked it into my life, my joy level would have looked like this. I need to start from this side of the graph. Would it look like this? But when I found out I was righteous, it did this. Because all of a sudden, I don't have to carry that fear of letting God down. And do you know how heavy God is? I mean, you're trying to carry God on your shoulder. He's heavy. Where do you get that? Because the Bible says there's an exceeding weight of glory, and he carries it. He's got to be heavy. He invented mass. Amen. Get a whole physics lesson out of that one, can't we? And so when you're trying to carry all this responsibility to live as perfect as Jesus, and if you don't, then you feel like you've let God down. Well, of course, we've said this. Here's news. Here's the news for you. You're not holding him up. He's holding you up. Amen. And calling you to walk at his level, but yet he understands if you don't make it, he also was made in the form of a man. Amen. And experienced all the trials we experience, yet without sin. He's not expecting perfection. He's expecting targeting perfection. And if you don't make it, just declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My righteousness, I hold fast, I shall not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Remember we talked about this last week? You've got to put righteousness on. You've got to take time to clothe yourself in it. I put on righteousness and it clothed me, and my judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I've got on the white robe of righteousness. White linen, right? You got to be willing to take time to sew together your garment of righteousness. How do you do that? Confess it into your life. Back in those confession cards, we keep pushing them, hopefully for your benefit, that you can take those verses and cut out the pattern of righteousness you want on your garment. Take a few of them and sew them together by meditating them, get it down inside of you, and you will wear that garment. And you can, remember the blind beggar, you can cast aside your defiled, dirty garment and put on God's righteous garment. And you know what? That garment is permanent press and treated with, what do you call the treatment? Stain guard. I was thinking the one you put on your, what is it? Scotch guard. Who said it? Who said Scotch guard? All right. Two extra points for you. Two extra anointing points for you. Scotch guard. I saw a movie. It's from like in the early 50s, I think. Has anybody ever seen the old movie? The man with the white suit. It's a humorous movie. And it's not a real high-rated one. It wasn't that great, but it intrigued me because it was an engineering movie. It was about a guy that invented a... I think I've shared this in here before. He invented a polymer strand that was infinite in length and therefore became unbreakable. So he invented a polymer thread that could lift up an army tank. It couldn't be broken. You know, it was a fictional movie, so. But Tom, if you want to invent that one, go ahead. And then he made himself a suit out of it. And because it's this unbreakable thread, it was undyeable. So it's a brilliant white suit. He made him a nice, like, suit out of it, you know, jacket, trousers, everything. But it's brilliant white. You cannot color it. It won't take a color. And it's bulletproof, fireproof. They couldn't do anything to hurt the suit. And so it's all about everybody trying to get a hold of his formula, trying to, you know, buy the rights to it and everything because he'd invented now a suit that was totally indestructible. Amen. The military wanted it for obvious reasons. And in case you ever want to watch it, I won't tell you the ending, but it's probably not worth watching. The ending was everybody's after him, and he's going through all these tests. They're shooting him with machine guns. They can't hurt him. You know, he's just showing, hey, it's indestructible. Taking a torch to it, right on it, it won't burn. And at the end, they're chasing him, trying to get his suit. And all of a sudden, it dissolves off of him. It's only lasts so long. And it dissolved. And I all went, oh. I don't think he could get very much for it then. I don't know. Seemed like he'd still be with a lot of money. The point is, God's got a suit. You can put on a white suit that's indestructible. The devil can't touch it. It's fireproof. It's stain proof. It's stain repellent. if you'll put it on. And how do you put it on? How do you put on righteousness? You speak it into place after you've built it together, sewn it together by faith. And a person that gets a hold of this, and I'm about to give you a clue to know if you've got a hold of this. A person that gets a hold of this revelation will find themselves confessing their righteousness as much as they do every other promise of God. I probably confess righteousness in my life more than every other promise put together. Does anybody else do this? I'm just curious. Is anybody else that they confess righteousness all the time? You ask my wife, she'll hear me, and, oh, I'm righteous in Jesus. Because the devil during your day, you know, you'll have a thought, and you go, no, I cast that down, I'm righteous. My righteousness I hold for, I'll go through the verse, through my day, and in the shower, in the car, I'm always proclaiming my righteousness. Why? Because it's the hardener to the resin. And actually, if you're ever doing J.B. Weld, the more hardener you add, the harder it gets. And you can add less hardener, it gets a little more flexible, but the more hardener you add, it gets harder to a point, but less flexible. Well, I don't want to flex with the devil. So I'm adding hardener all the time. I put on righteousness, right? And so you need to probably consider working this into your life until it becomes part of your daily conversation. I probably confess righteousness in my life more than I talk to anybody else in the day. Because it becomes that vital. Do you remember we started this off talking about the enemy's number one attack against your faith is condemnation? Condemnation are stains sent against your garment to get you to look at the stain versus where you're going. And righteousness, faith and confession, rinse off the stains. I've had some garments that if you get near any kind of stain, it jumps on it and it's there permanently. I mean, I've had those before. Now, I don't know if you're like this, probably not to the level I am, but I've always tended to be a grease magnet. I mean, I can walk, I think I can walk through a women's designer gown store. Somehow grease will jump on me from something. It just seems to attract to me. And if not, I'll see something, I'll touch it, and oh, it's got grease on it. I have a radar for grease. Patty will buy me nice clothes, nice outfits, whatever, and before it's done, it seems like, now I don't want to confess this, but in the past, grease jumps on them. Not to mention, I'm always tinkering with something. And I'm to the place, if it's time to fix it, I don't pay attention to what I'm wearing when I fix it. So I don't know how many suits I've ruined or ties or whatever that I get the wrong stuff on them. But I've had clothes as well that seem to repel everything. Have you ever had those clothes that just seemed like nothing would stick to them? I mean, I've had some, you know. You get on it, but you just rinse it off or whatever. I don't know what, some kind of polyester probably. And it comes right off. And that's the way your garment of righteousness is. If you'll speak it, it's like rinsing the stain right off. Remember the washing of the water of the word? 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 1 Corinthians 5. We're cleansed by the washing of the water of the word, by the word of God. So you speak the word and it rinses it right off. And when you do that, it lets your faith rise to the highest levels. Condemnation is a counter force to your faith. Amen. So God is doing a short work in the end times to get us into the... I'm staying on this point for a purpose because I want you to get where you really recognize it and want it. Because if I can't create a desire, you won't feel motivated to do the work to produce the results. I've got to do it like describing to you the perfect recipe. Patty made chocolate chip cookies the other day. And she likes to cook them where they're just not quite done, so they're still flexible. And I think she broke the world record for the most chocolate chips and cookies. In fact, there's more chocolate in these cookies than there is cookie. It's like you look at them and they're just multiplied chips with some stuff holding the chips together. They come out perfectly warm, flexible, just ready to melt in your mouth. What I'm in, some of you are thinking, I got to go home and make chocolate chip cookies. If I can speak about something for a while, it'll produce a desire. Versus talk about octopus. I can talk about octopus all I want and nobody cares. I think it was Sandy talking to me the other day about eating octopus. And she says she's eating live octopus. And she says it tastes really good, but the problem is it suckers stick to your lips and tongue. And it's hard to get it disconnected to get it down. Well, that sounds like fun. Get to fight your food while you eat it. Amen. Well, you know, we just talked about eating octopus. How many want to get some live octopus and eat it? I don't see anybody going like, wow. But I hit chocolate chip cookies. You're going like, yeah, come on. Some brown beans and cornbread. Barry's back there going, yeah. Well, I want to describe a garment you can put on that's more valuable than any garment you could ever wear in the natural. But you got to want to wear it because it does take some work. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Remember that Isaiah 31? The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I think it's Isaiah 31, if I remember right. There's some work involved, but the result is peace. Peace within you, and knowing you have peace with God. How many want peace? It's been probably 5 years ago or so. I taught in here about the peace of God, the supernatural peace of God. That God's got an anointing of peace that will transcend any worldly pressure, no matter what's going on around you. You're fulfilled and contented. Afterwards, there was a guy that was in here for the first time. And he wanted to speak to me after. He's an older guy. He's probably early 70s. Not that that's old, but he was older than me. And he wanted to speak to me, and so he wanted to speak to me in the office. I took him back, and we probably spoke for about an hour. And he says, everything you preach today is what I want, and I've been searching for all of my life. He says, I want that. And he says, I'm a shaman. You know what a shaman is? A New Age mystic. Wizard, warlock, whatever. And apparently at a very high level. And he's got all these spirit aids and guides that go with him. He says, they're with me all the time. He says, they're here now. I said, you can see them now in my office? He says, yeah, there's one there and one there. I says, well, if you're going to access what I'm talking about, you will have to reject them and tell them to go. Because those are of the demonic realm. Those aren't your friends. They want to drag you to hell. And they you cannot take them where you want to go if you want this peace. After all this talk about this supernatural capability to have this peace, when I said you will have to tell your friends to go, he said, well, I can't do that. Got him left. Haven't seen him since. He heard what it was. He says, I've looked for it all of my life, as we all have. And when I said, here's what you've got to do, and to me it'd be an easy step. He says, oh, I couldn't do that. And didn't want to do the work necessary to get it. Jesus bought it free, but there's a work of faith you've got to do to build it into your life. I had a young man come in here probably 9 years ago. We hadn't been open very long. His mother called me, desperately seeking help. Said, my son is a cutter. We've had several of those in here. My son is a cutter, and he cuts himself every day through the day, trying to, you know, get peace. And can you help him? I said, if he'll do what I tell him, I can help him. And so he came and she brought him in and brought him up for prayer. And he showed me his arms. They looked like Swiss cheese. I'm not talking about just scratches. I'm talking about cuts. They looked just shredded. I says, well, we're going to rebuke this spirit that's driving you to do that, and God's going to set you free. So I did. Power of God hit him. Boom, he's on the floor. When he gets up totally free, he goes, I've never felt like this in my life. And he started coming to church. And he every service, he'd say, I have not cut myself since you prayed for me. I'm free. What a wonderful life. Oh, praise God, so excited. His mother never came back. You'd think she'd want to come back. Help my son, but I don't need any. So a lot of support she was, you know, once. And after 2 weeks, he calls me. He called me and says, Pastor, I just want you to know I cut myself again. I'm going, something's wrong here. So I came for him, prayed for him again. He says, oh, I feel good again. And a day or so later, he calls, Pastor, I cut myself again. I said, well, come in here. And I said, I understand how the kingdom of God works. You were set free. We're feeding you the word. You have the right to stay free. You're doing something to open that door again. And I knew what it was. By the Spirit, I knew. I said, are you involved in pornography? He says, oh, yes, I love pornography. I said, well, that's opening the door to these spirits that are tormenting you. That's against the precepts of the kingdom of God. I said, if you want to stay free, you need to put down the pornography and not touch it anymore. He said, oh, I can never do that. And left. Did he get any more prayer? Just left. I've not seen him since. I don't know if he's alive or dead. But wouldn't make the shift to go in to the liberty and peace of the kingdom of God. So what I'm trying to let you know is, this righteous revelation I'm talking about is not just another thing to kind of add to your spiritual belt. Well, yes, I've built that into my faith repertoire. This is the key to walk in peace and accelerated manifestation of your results of faith. It's the key. And I've got to create enough desire in you to want it enough to do the work. Well, Pastor, I just want to go to church, you know, and hear you speak a nice sermon and tell me what I can have and how much God loves me. And, you know, I just want to go on my way. It doesn't work like that. Hey, I just want to sit home and have some company send me a paycheck. You know, hey, well, we heard you were just a nice guy. Here's your check. And if you want to do that, hey, I'm open to it, you know. But it's not happened yet. In fact, Scripture says, he that won't work won't eat. That's what Paul said, right? He that won't work the word won't experience the results of it. There's a responsibility God's put upon us to take the word he gave us. Remember, Jesus said, my flesh is meat indeed. And he is the word made flesh. There's a need to feed yourself. And I'm not rebuking anybody. I'm just trying to make a point to help you along. I remember when my girls were little and they didn't want to eat their strained peas or whatever. It's probably more that Patty didn't feel like she wanted to feed it to them, but she didn't like it. She wanted the kids to eat them. I tried to give them sardines. They said, no, they can't eat sardines. Why not? Lori grew up loving, when she was little, her favorite food were kippered snacks. Canned pickled herring. She loved it. I raised her right. But when they were little and didn't want to eat, we would do the airplane thing. Here's the airplane. It needs to land. Open up the hangar, and you got the strained peas on the spoon. And they're going, Come on, the plane's going to crash. Hurry up. You stick it in. How many have done the airplane thing? And you'd have to play a game to get the kids to open their mouth just so you could hand feed them, which is okay for babies. But if I bring Darius up here, I say, Darius, now here's your octopus. Open up. Here's the airplane. Or something, even though the mashed potatoes. Here it is. Open up. The plane's going to crash. And then Darius goes, yes, I got some in him. How many would think that was a little bit strange? How many would think maybe Darius wasn't doing his responsibility to feed himself? I mean, if I've got a hand feed Darius, I'm just using him because I know he won't get upset. And he wasn't paying attention anyway, so he probably didn't know what I'm talking about. I'm just teasing. He was on every word I said. If I have to spoon feed an adult, something's wrong. You follow me? I've seen adults had to be spoon fed because there was something wrong with them. Either an injury or an abnormality, and they had to be fed. That's a different situation. But if you've got a healthy adult and you've got to spoon feed them, something's wrong. And so many Christians come to church want the pastor to spoon feed them. And really all the pastors do is show them what's in the refrigerator. There's the pantry. In fact, if somebody comes to my house and they're staying, I will show them the refrigerator and the pantry and say, now you're on your own. Anything in there is yours. I'll show them the Jelly Belly machine. Anything you want is yours. Help yourself. And occasionally you hear the refrigerator open, but you hear the Jelly Belly machine all the time. Pastor Nana's brother was here with us Thursday night and Friday night at prayer. And when Nana came to stay with us last year for a couple weeks, he was on that machine all the time. You'd hear it. You'd be downstairs, you'd hear it upstairs going. He had discovered heaven. And so my job is to open the refrigerator, open the pantry, show you what's in it, and tell you how good some of it is. But you have to feed yourself. It has now been 25 years since I've been down with the flu. How many would never like to have the flu again? I haven't had a cold in several years. I used to get, after I had the flu, I still had colds for a long time. You guys see me up here, snot dripping if you've been here, you know, years ago. I haven't had that happen in probably 2 or 3 years. I don't have to be sick another day of my life. If I was to get sick, it's not the Word's fault. It's because I dropped my willingness to feed myself what's necessary to stay healthy, both naturally and spiritually. You follow me? But the Word will keep you healthy. But you got to be willing to do the work to get to that point. You never have to be sick or broke or oppressed down another day of your life. Now, a lot of those are going to say, well, the sickness, I got money. But when I say down, every one of us have experienced down days. Some people have down months. Few have done down years. And there is nowhere in the Word of God that promises you you've got to be discouraged. Do you think there's any oppression in heaven? You get to heaven and half the people walking around like this. What's going on? I don't care. There's nothing. Whatever. The word whatever is a sure sign of oppression being on your head. Amen? As an adult, I understand the little teenager, whatever, is more of a smart aleck response, but for the adult, it's like, I just don't care. That means there are devils tap dancing on your head at that point in time. And righteous revelation will keep the devils off of your head. Amen. You don't have to live discouraged. You don't have to live down. Amen. I'm trying to create the hunger and desire. I'm showing you where the pantry is. You got to be willing to work it. It's just too much work. Is oppression, is living with oppression not worth doing some work to get it off? Now, you'll lock horns with some opposition. But I still like winning over the demonic. You don't mind the battle so much. The other side of it is heavenly. If you could use just a little bit of work, study, a little bit of casting down and working the word into you, and God was going to bring you into a heavenly experience, would it be worth it to you? I have fasted 40 days, 30 days, 21 days. I couldn't tell you how many times just to hear a word from God. Just, God, give me some direction. Give me clarity. And that isn't fun. And if you'd have said to me, hey, instead, just take some time and speak these verses and meditate them, I'll take that over fasting anytime. Every time. Yes, let me eat and I'll speak whatever. And what I'm telling you is a whole lot of people are trying to fast when really what they need, and that fasting's good, is to work that word in them to who they are. And it will accelerate everything they're involved in. You'll hear God more clearly. Visions and revelations will come. God will transform your life. Why? Because you've now positioned yourself to dwell in His kingdom. Jesus said we're to abide in Him. Remember, we call over here, this side of the Pope, we call it the world system. Over here is the kingdom of God system. In the middle is the cross, the transition point between the two. Well, we've learned in here we can go past the cross and dwell in the kingdom. Here's the problem. You cannot abide in the kingdom for very long and go very far with a condemnation mentality. Let me ask you a question. You're over here in the world, and you've got sickness, lack, oppression, condemnation, sin. You come to the cross. You receive Jesus Christ at the cross. When you came to the cross, were you automatically healed? No, there's a lot of people get saved. They're as sick as they were when they got saved. Right? Were you automatically rich? My bank account didn't jump a penny when I got saved. Didn't change a bit. But here's what did change automatically. Were you automatically righteous? You were automatically made righteous. So to go beyond the cross, I hope you can follow me on this. To go beyond the cross, how far you go into the kingdom is not determined by how much you step into healing. That's a result of it, but that's not determining how far you go in. How much money you make is not determining how far you go into the kingdom, how much God blesses you financially. What determines how far you can go into the kingdom is how much you get a hold of the revelation of what instantly took place when you got saved. God made you righteous at this point in time. But now as you build your revelation, your understanding of what took place, and you work your faith into your life, that you start declaring, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden, that now determines how far you go into the kingdom. I got a golden ticket. Oh, it's kind of beige. This representing your righteous, right standing of God and your rights to all the blessings of God becomes your ticket to determine how far you go into the kingdom. The more you'll build revelation of who you are and work it into your life, the deeper you get to go. Because see, you can't abide with Jesus with sin. And you can't abide with Him with a sin mentality. Therefore, you've got to build this into your understanding to go deep. This gives you access to the gifts. The more you get a hold of this, the more you'll find yourself prophesying. Because the more you're abiding, the more you're revelating. The more you get a hold of this, the more you're gonna be willing to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. The more you get a hold of this, the more fire you'll have for the things of God. And the more you'll enjoy every day of your life. I've not even got into my message today because we're stuck at this point. I've got a whole message about the glory this morning in this. We probably won't get to now till next week. Because it's no use me going beyond here until you want it. You've got to want it to be willing to work it. You know, I have different dietary likes than Patty. I like everything. She likes a few things. So from the beginning of her marriage on, she just makes what she likes knowing I'll eat it. So if I say to Patty, let me ask you a question. I like brown beans. I like white beans. How many times since we've been married have you made a big pot of pinto beans? Zero. How many times since we've been married have you made a big pot of navy beans? Zero. I'm not trying to... People looking at you like... People looking at you like, what? No, to make beans, you'd have to get them out and rinse them and soak them overnight and then cook them. That's a lot of work. And the herb beans aren't worth that much work. I was exaggerating. It's a lot of work. It's not a lot of work, but she didn't want them. So because she doesn't want them, she's not going to do it. And she knows, and I'm not trying to say she won't make me beans, because she knows I don't care what I eat. I really don't care. She says, where do you want to eat? I don't care. What do you want for supper? I don't care. Put something on the table, hot or cold, or if you don't put something on, I'll get some out of the refrigerator. I know where my fig bars are. Food to me is a distraction. You look at me like, are you kidding me? I live for food. I never have. I enjoy to eat, are you following me? But I don't enjoy all the work necessary to eat. So for me, when it's time to eat, I'm not doing a whole lot of work to make a meal. I know what I have in cans. And I keep on supply. I keep them stacked up in my pantry. Vienna sausage, sardines, oysters, and octopus. The four basic food groups. I do. I've got cans of them stacked. Do you know how many flavors of sardines they make? They got big ones and little ones, hot ones, you know, mustard ones. Lime and cilantro sardines. Making myself hungry now. I keep sardines in my truck for emergency purposes. So you're seeing how much I don't want to do work to cook, how willing I am just to grab whatever just for necessity. Patty won't make what she doesn't like because it's not worth the work. I won't make hardly any food if it takes any time because it's not worth the work. You follow me? And some of you like eating so much, you'll take all day to cook a meal. Now, Patty likes to eat. She lives to eat. But she'll just eat what she wants. And so she's got three meals. She's having three meals a day. On schedule. And she'll plan it days ahead of time. Yeah, in 3 days for breakfast, I'm going to have cereal. Yeah, and this cereal. Yeah, I'm having to eat this. Just not Kellogg's right now. Yeah. Kellogg's canceled a contract with Breitbart, saying all of Breitbart's conservative, that, in fact, I think said the number, their 47 million followers, or the people have that attitude, don't align with Kellogg's company morals and concepts. And so Kellogg just called everybody that voted for Donald Trump in the election, basically not worthy of their cereal. So we cut off buying Kellogg's. But they own a whole lot. They own a whole lot of companies. Anyway, I don't think they own any octopus companies. I'm safe. The point I'm getting at with this whole food thing, with the whole pinto beans, and please don't judge Patty, because she knows I don't care. If I said make me pinto beans, she would make them. She just wouldn't eat any. I'm getting at it because you've got to want the results of feeding yourself righteousness enough to do it. You got to want to be able to live an oppression-free life. And I'm telling you, the further you go into this kingdom, the less you'll ever experience days of oppression or even moments of frustration. Because over here is nothing missing, nothing broken. Over here is days of heaven on earth. No pain, no pressure, no fear, no death. But how much you get the revelation of who you are determines how deep you go. Because you want to advance into this kingdom side, you got to keep showing this ticket. It's not just one time you got entry. You got to show the ticket all through the day. The devil says, you can't go any further. I got a ticket. I'm righteous. You take another step, you're trying to go further into the presence of God. The devil says, who are you to think that you could ever really experience the fullness of his love? I got a ticket. Take another step. Remember yesterday and you got frustrated? Oh, you've let God down. I got a ticket. You advance as far into the kingdom as you're willing to say, I am the righteousness of God, no matter what the devil throws in your face. No matter what kind of moment backsliding moment you have. Backsliding mean you quit God, but you don't respond in a godly fashion. This righteousness revelation has become the ticket that changed my life. And if you had asked me if there were between righteousness, healing, and prosperity, which of the three is the most important? It's righteousness. Because it gives you access to the other two. And if you had to ask me which I would rather have in my life, the revelation of righteousness, or full healing, or full prosperity, I'd rather take righteousness. Take some pills for the healing. Another credit card for the prosperity. But I don't want to live under oppression. I don't want to live under fear and anxiety and feeling like I've let God down. I'd rather be sick with God than heal without him. And this takes you into that place. But I'm not trying to hit you over the head with this. I'm just trying to make the point. You got to be willing to work it. And if you do, if you would just take some of those righteousness verses and work them into your life, say, speak it over your life, a half a dozen times a day for 3 months, I guarantee your life will be changed. Well, that's just too much work. Speaking a verse 6 times a day? I remember, now this would have been in 1992. I'm in a service in Lexington when I was at that church. And I'm on the front row, about 5 seats down from Pastor Callahan. And he passes a note down to me. And the note said, I believe it was Isaiah 50. Well, it was Isaiah 50. And it was either verse 3 and 4 or 4 and 5. And because I confessed the verse, I didn't confess the reference. And he said, confess this 6 times a day. He passed me down a prescription. He'd never done it before. But he did it for me that day. And in the middle of service, during praise and worship, God speaks to him about me and passes that note down to me. I didn't even know what the verse said. So I looked it up. Amen. And started confessing that verse. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I can speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. The Lord God has opened mine ear, and I'm not rebellious, neither turn away back. And I probably butchered it somewhat because I've been paraphrasing it for years. But basically, it was about hearing God's voice. That God has opened my ear to hear God's voice. Well, that changed my life. I started doing it. The pastor gave it to me. I'm going to do it. I started doing it. And all of a sudden, I moved from not thinking I could even hear God to hearing Him regularly. Why? Because the Word works for those that work the Word. And righteousness is the revelation that cuts all of this short. Amen? But you got to put it on. How many want to put on a garment that is stain-proof, bulletproof, fireproof? Amen? It's righteousness. Did you get anything out of this morning? Well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and close. If you need special prayer, I'll be up here to pray with you. Father, seal the Word in us. Create in us a hunger to partake of Your table of fine dining of righteous revelation. I thank as we do, you virtually elevate us to higher levels of living and functioning with You than we've ever thought possible. We thank You in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Hug some necks.